Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for a beautiful day you gave us yesterday. We thank you for those who were able to come out and help. We realize, Lord, others had maybe plans and things they had already previously been committed to. But I'm thankful, Lord, for those who were able to come out. I know we were an encouragement and blessing. The two different families, Lord, just maybe not able to do some of the things that they could do in the past, or they can do them, Lord, but it's not easy. And I'm thankful we could come alongside as a church family, as a body of Christ, and minister and be a blessing and an encouragement to those folks, and I pray would continue to be so, Lord. And Lord, we know there's others, Lord. We're not just those two families, but others in our church family. I pray we'd meet the need, number one, spiritually, first of all. Number two, Lord, also physically, perhaps, or even financially, if you lay folks and families in our hearts and we have the opportunity, Lord. The Bible says so we have opportunity to do good, Lord, to others, but especially those that are in the family of God. Lord, to those that are in our body of Christ, and we thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Many do that privately and anonymously, Lord, before you, and we're grateful for that. Lord, thank you that we can come this morning on this, the Lord's Day, to worship you. Now, Lord, help us even now. Well, we may be weary and tired from a busy day yesterday, Lord. Now, we may not be feeling the greatest. We may have a lot of things on our mind that could cause anxiety. Our mind could be in many different places, Lord, this morning. Lord, I pray we've come to worship you, to honor you. I pray that our hearts would be tender to receive the word of God. I thank you for all of our teachers, our helpers, our assistants, Lord, whether nursery, Lord, whether teaching a Sunday school class, a Wednesday night children's program, the youth group, Lord, in any area, our many teachers and helpers with our children's church. Lord, we have many who are involved in those regularly, and I thank you for that, Lord. I pray that on this back-to-school Sunday, we take Lord, just an extra special look at the importance of teaching and ministering and mentoring others, younger or older, and pouring into them our lives and things of the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, today would be an encouragement and a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your love. We pray you'd be honored today. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
Glad you all are here today and a little more prepared this time. I've actually got notes instead of some just jots on a piece of paper. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, just the first few verses here. Going back to Bible times, and you think back in a lot of different secular writings, folks have really been seeking after wisdom. Knowledge, wisdom. I mean, everybody wants to know stuff. How do things work? What's the meaning of life? All these different things. And people have been seeking after that for such a long time. And so we get a little glimpse here of wisdom and what we need to do if we're actually looking for it. And very few people are not looking for it. We want to know stuff, right? It's human nature. So that's going to be what we take a look at this morning. And we'll read the first, let's just start with the first five verses here of Proverbs chapter 2, and then we'll pray and get into the lesson. Proverbs 2, 1. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, as we look into your word, we pray that you'd speak to us through it. Lord, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified and help us to grow more like Christ today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There's some actions here, right? It would be great if it just hit us. Like we talk about, the old joke about the kid sleeping with the math book under the pillow because he had the test, so he wanted to absorb it when he slept. It would be fantastic if we got smarter, if we got knowledge, if we got wisdom, the application of knowledge, through just, it just hit us, right? Fell out of the sky, soaked in through the pillow from the book. Man, that would be a wonderful thing. But that's not how it works. And we talk about experience being the best teacher. We learn things the hard way so many times. When I just walked over there, I know now I gotta look down because I actually got my heel on it and almost toppled off of the first step. Not part of the Sunday school lesson, but it's kind of applicable, right? So now wisdom is, hey, I got to watch where I'm walking if I start wandering around the stage here, because I don't want to fall down the steps. That's so experience, right? We learn through experience. But those types of situations, sometimes we're learning those without actually looking for it. What about the times we're looking for it? I want to know. You know, pastor says, hey, I need Jose, Charlie, Nathan, Mike, I need you guys to come up and see me after service here, because I've got some dates I want you all to fill in for Sunday school. Or so I've got something I want to talk to you guys about. So we all show up, and he's got this paper with a list of dates. I need volunteers for Sunday school to teach throughout the summer. Great, no problem, right? We'll do it. We got this. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. He's texting me through the week. You good for Sunday? Yeah, I'm good for Sunday. I'm not ready, but I'll do it. I have no idea. So I can think about it. I can flip through the Bible and still have nothing at all, right? So where does what I talk about come from? Is it going to come from me? I don't know what the Lord wants me to talk about. Or am I going to seek wisdom from him? Okay, so that's one thing, right? In teaching Sunday school, biblical knowledge of the application of scriptures and things like that. Well, is it just for Sunday school that I need this? So, you know, Jose and I need it. You know, Charlie needs it. Mike needs it. Pastor needs it. But none of the rest of us need it. Maybe the Sunday school teachers need it. None of the rest of us need it. Not at all. Because what we talk about here, and what doesn't stop here, right? Because if it stops here, and then I go back to work tomorrow, and it's the storms of life. Eliel was talking about the travel, all right? A few years back, I was going to South Korea, and my coworker and I flew into Seoul, and we were going to be flying down to the southern tip in it's a port city, Busan, and when the arrangements got made, there was only one ticket left for Seoul to Busan, so he got that one, and I had to fly down to Japan and then back up to South Korea. Well, Eliel talked about the length of the trip. I think the time we left Avoca until the time that I was scheduled to arrive in Busan, I feel like it was something like 28 hours was the time. And now you're going into these airports in areas of the world, you have no idea. You don't know what the signage means. You got to look for ones, hopefully have an English translation. Now, since then, you can use your phone and Google will translate it for you just with the image. But I had no idea. So I go down to Japan by myself, and he went one way in Seoul. I went the other way to go to the other gate. I took a wrong turn, and I walked through doors, and it was all security. And I am not in the right place. And now I look different than everybody else in that country, right? So I have no idea. Where do I go? So things like that, storms of life. Stuff happens, as the old commercial says. Life happens. So what do you do? Well, they were very helpful, and I had all my paperwork. So they actually escorted me to the gate that I needed to be at. But these are the types of things that we go through day after day after day. When stuff happens, what do we do? Now, two different things. One, do we prepare for that? You think about a football team, right? A football team, or our military, or our police, firemen. Do they wait until action is on them to hit it? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to them if they're waiting for something to happen to jump in? They're not going to be prepared. They're not going to be able to. The fireman's not going to be able to carry anybody out. The police officers, if they have to chase somebody down, are not going to be able to chase them down. our military are not going to be able to stand up to a prolonged fight, right? Preparation has to happen well before. It's not just, I'm in a trial, oh, I need wisdom. You got to lay the groundwork. You've got to have the foundation well before. So now, as we look into Proverbs here, chapter 2, we're going to get some direction on what we need to do to be prepared. All right? So we want wisdom. We know it's human nature. We want to learn. We want to grow. It's something that the Lord put in us at creation, that we have a desire to grow, to improve, to learn more. And you see that with all the different accomplishments that mankind has made over the years because of seeking out knowledge, seeking out wisdom, learning to do more, go farther. So the action words here, though, we've got to do work, right? So receive my words. Well, we can do nothing if we hear this and just in one ear, out the other, right over our head, let it go, pay no attention, right? You got to receive it. You got to say, okay, listen, here's some preaching, here's some Bible doctrine, here's some Bible principles. I want it. Give it to me, right? So step one, you got to receive it. Step two, later in that same verse, hide my commandments with thee. Hide it. That's the concept of this thing that I just received is very valuable, right? I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it. You think of the old pirates, they had the buried treasure with the map that only that they could find. They had the landmarks and that. Or you take something and you have a safe at home and you keep your valuable documents. You keep maybe family jewels, different things like that is what you store in that safe or put it in a bank. These are things that are precious, right? So you've received now. You received the commandments, you listened to the words, and now you're hiding these with thee. All right. So this isn't just I'm going to take God's word and I'm gonna hang on to my Bible. No, it's I'm taking God's word, and thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. These are the things that we will now use when trouble comes, just in the regular day, when trouble doesn't come, do we find ourselves with no unusual circumstances hitting us, and we find ourselves, what do? We're drawn away of our own crooked lusts, right? Our crooked ways, because we don't even need a temptation to hit us to start down the wrong path, because our ways, not being God's perfect ways, our ways, our human nature ways, are crooked. We're going to go the wrong way, even without a trial or a temptation out there, right? That's our nature. So that's why we take them, we receive them when we hear them, and then two, we hide them, we hold on to them, and treat them as if they are precious, as if they are a very valuable object, right? So now, verse number 2, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom. We want to learn this stuff, right? And the older I get, the worse my hearing gets. And some of it's from bad choices as a kid. Some of it's from bad choices working with different tools and areas that's not that bad. I don't really need hearing protection in this area, or I'm only going to be in it for a little while. Well, my hearing gets worse. And so this carries the implication that, hey, listen, you're hard of hearing. So wait, what was that? And say that again. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. What was the teaching? So this is the wisdom, the biblical wisdom, the wisdom that we need to go through every single day of our lives. We're listening intently. I don't want to miss this. I want to make sure I get it. We're inclining our ear unto the wisdom. Now, apply your heart to understanding. We're all We're all a little bit older in here, with the exception of one person, right? So you're a little bit younger. You would have been on the receiving end of this statement, I'm sure. But you gotta apply yourself. Whether it was with basketball and volleyball, or whether it was with schoolwork, classes, physics, whatever, I don't know. But you gotta apply yourself if you're gonna get this. And it's the same thing at work. You get a new assignment, you gotta apply yourself to make sure you understand and you can perform the job well. Here, with this wisdom that you've received, that you've hidden, now you know it, you've got to apply yourself. That's effort. You've got to put this, if you're going to put this into practice, you really have to keep using it or you're going to lose it. I saw a picture of, I think it was Alex Smith. I think that's who it was. He was a quarterback, and he got his leg, I mean, completely shattered. His right leg. I mean, it just got destroyed. And I just saw him last night on, I think it might have been a TV commercial, a commercial on TV. And his legs are about the size of my arm, because they atrophied, they weakened because of the injury that he got. Right. So, without use, it got weaker. That's the same thing that's here. Apply yourself. Apply yourself to understanding. Don't just listen and walk away. Use it. Use it. Because if you don't use it, I mean, the old expression, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? So if you don't use it, if you don't stay in God's Word, stay plugged in, and I get it, right? This is Sunday school class, so people that have a desire to do exactly this are the folks that are here, because you get the big crowd for Sunday morning because that's going to church. This part isn't going to church for a lot of people, so it's more of a preaching to the choir type thing here, where folks who have a desire to learn more, have a desire to apply more, are the ones that are listening. But if we're not doing it, next thing you know, we're coming only on Sunday morning for just the church service. We're coming once a month, every couple of months. Not at all, because we stop the application part. We stop the hard work where, listen, this is going wrong. Okay, I need help with this. Can you give me some advice? You know, in Psalm where it says, walk not, sit not, stand not, right? We're talking about the ungodly, the fool, right? The scorner. Don't do those things. That's not the folks we need to get our understanding from. Those aren't the folks that we need to get our wisdom from. And there's air quotes around wisdom there, because that's not wisdom if it's not coming from the Lord. Moving on here in verse number 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. So our next action verb here is cry. We want this so badly that we are pleading with God. That's the idea here. We cry out after it. If it's just something that's middle of the road, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, so be it. No big deal. No, we want this so badly that we're pleading for it. Got to remember, we're pleading to the Lord for this, right? We're crying out after knowledge, and we lift up our voice. Next one is lift. Lift up thy voice for understanding. So we're crying out to the Lord for knowledge. We're lifting up our voice to Him in prayer for understanding. I don't know what to do, but I also don't know how to use it. I need to know both. And anybody that's ever done any type of project around the house or anywhere knows that we need knowledge. We need understanding, because, man, sometimes it really feels like God, the creator of physics, is changing the rules occasionally, because there's no way this could keep falling down. there's no way that this screw could have landed over there under the organ. I'm working on the speaker on this wall. How can it be over here? You'd say, it's not physically possible. Lord, what are you doing? What are you working on here? What do I need to learn? Because obviously, you know, the old expression about the definition of an insanity, you keep repeating the same actions in the same circumstances and you expect different results. I'm gonna keep doing this because I know it should work. And the same thing keeps happening. And that happens to us. That happens to us in life. We've got those coworkers that just get under our skin, and I've got one in particular, and what do you do? You keep doing the same thing. Well, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I'm going to keep doing it this way. Well, guess what? The reaction, the interaction, it's the same. I haven't changed anything, but well, I wasn't doing anything wrong. The results aren't any different, so what could I do differently? Is there something that I could do differently? Maybe there is, and there usually is. Even though, okay, you know what? It was on you before, but now I know about it, and now I know this is not working. And it's a situation where this person is responsible for certain things. It's not that we don't get along personally. It's not like a butting heads like that. It's just I need you to do this task because you're integral to the team I've got to make things shippable, right? And so they just don't get it. All right. So let me try. I'll show you here. Try this method. All right. What methods do you have? Let's see if we can tailor those, and so on. And it just continues to grow. Actually, that one, well, that's a different story. It's interesting, and the Lord's not done with me in this situation, and because the situation's still there. So obviously, no matter how much I'm crying out or seeking that understanding, that knowledge, the Lord's not done with me there. And this could be something completely that either I'm not getting or somebody else needs to observe the interaction. And that could very well be because a coworker came to me Thursday and said, "Hey, I was reading some of the stuff that's going on here with this and all of the emails." And it's if you're familiar with Reply to All, and Reply to All's growing. Well, you're mad because of what I did. So you send me a message and you copy somebody on it. You didn't get a response that you wanted. So you reply to all and you add a couple more people to it. You're still not really happy with what's going on. Or somebody that got a hold of that email now says, "Oh, you know, Goble is really messing this up. Let's add a couple more people to it." So next thing you know, an email to me ends up being an email to 12 people, including all the senior leaders in the facility. So it gives a good opportunity, especially when you're preparing for a Sunday school class. and you're going to be talking to people, and you're going to be saying, "Here's what the Lord's telling us in His Word." And oh, by the way, yeah, I'm not doing any of it because, man, I fired off an email. I showed them and put them all in their place. Nope. You got to remember the application, right? You got to remember how He wants us to use the knowledge He's given us. So, Lord, what do I do? How do I react to this? And so you react with, "All right, here's what we did." It was basically a, "You never told us this. We're working on the wrong thing." Yeah, I gave you a letter from the customer directing us to do this one. You were supposed to push those out to January. Okay, here it is. Not in anger, just here's where we talked about it, and here was the direction. All right, well, did this officially ever come in a contract change? Yes. Here's the information from contracts. They gave it to us on this date, and it was kind of an interesting thing is that they were told in that, and all the people that were responding unkindly, we'll say, were all in that email from contracts. So the conversation ended immediately. It was kind of like, then this fellow comes to me on Thursday and said, "Hey, I was reading your responses. Not sure how I would have responded with what they were saying, but it was good to see. Hey, this is going on. No, here's what happened. Well, what about this? Okay, here's this," and then it just kind of went away. Well, it could have blown up. It could have blown up, and that's the kind of thing. My current boss is, he's very smart, and he's very helpful, but he's also very harsh, and so he can be. And so if I would have done this the wrong way, I would have probably been in trouble. So there would have been consequences, worldly consequences as well, that would have come from this. And that's so. We cry out for knowledge. Lord, I don't know what to do. I want to know. And we lift up our voice. Please help me understand it. Verse number four. Here we're still talking about wisdom, right? The next action, seek. If thou seekest her as silver. I think I might remember something about searching and seeking. I'm not sure. We might have talked about that a little bit in the last year or two. But anyway, how do we search? Well, okay, we have already talked about we're hiding this. It's like a treasure. This wisdom is like a treasure. So when we get it, we hold on to it as something very, very, very dear, very valuable. We're also going to be seeking after. We read in other passages about, it says, what lady of the house, when she loses the piece of silver, doesn't tear the house apart to try to find it. So she loses the coin and she's trying to find it. This is the idea that we have here, right? It's something so valuable, we are tearing everything apart to try to find it. I gotta know. I have to find this. I have to know the answer. Lord, what do I do every day when someone's nasty to me? And it doesn't have to be just, hey, they're nasty to me because I'm a Christian. No, we don't need to be a Christian to be nasty to each other. We have the desire to grow. I want to be better. I want to know more. And it's also a competitive nature that we have. I want to be better than another person. And people are just nasty in general to each other. So it doesn't have to be, I know that you're a believer in Christ, so I'm going to treat you poorly. It could be that. And how do we react then? The Bible tells us, right? Turn the other cheek. Answer a kind answer turneth away wrath. Wait a second here. There's Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse that tells us how to react. When trouble comes, count it all joy. Okay, it's not count it pleasurable. No, count it as joy that the Lord is trying to grow you. Count it as joy that He wants you to gain wisdom. There's so much. Wait a second here. The trials are for a season. We know when trials come, all these different verses that say it's gonna happen. Know that. And again, we can go back to whether it's just on a personal level or whether it's because of us being a Christian, there are going to be trials. Know that the world's gonna be an enemy of you because they first hated me, right? So they hate Christ and in general, and so they're going to be looking for Christians just on a general principle, and maybe not individuals that we know. I've got some friends that definitely don't believe that what I'm doing every Sunday is normal, and yet very respectful, right? But then there's others that will, because of this, say, oh man, and no longer friends. Y'all have family members that have been that way. Most of us do. Right, so let's move quickly here and get through the last one. So we're seeking and searching, right? That's how much we want it. Okay, now let's get to now. So we've got receive, hide. Those are in verse 1. Incline, apply in verse 2. cry and lift up our voice in verse 3, seek and search in verse number 4. So we've got eight different things now, that actions that we've taken if we want wisdom, or we were supposed to take if we want wisdom. Now we get to verse number 5, then. So we've got all the if-then statements for anybody that's computer folks here. We've got our if-then statements. Then in verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So, okay, we've gone through we've got these eight things that we're doing. And now you've done all of this. Now you're going to understand the fear of the Lord. And then here's the thing. What have we been doing? We've been searching, we've been seeking, we've been crying out, we've been looking for this treasure. Then we're going to understand the fear of the Lord and shout out that next word, find. We found it. We found it. This is what we've been looking for. We found the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. We look at, you know, it was funny, Pastor. I said, I'm more prepared today. I've got my notes. I haven't looked at them. Oh, this is terrible. Let's look at the end of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, what is it? Chapter 6, right? Chapter 6 at the very end. At the very end, we've got verses 20 and 21 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. So here Paul has written a letter to Timothy. And he finishes up with two verses finishes up with a sentence or two here. It says, oh, Timothy, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. So what's Timothy? Timothy's a preacher, right? So he says, all right, you're a preacher. I've entrusted you. God has entrusted you with teaching the congregation, teaching the flock, shepherding the flock. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. And here's where it is. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So we hear, listen, focus on what I've entrusted you with. You want to give the flock as much understanding of knowledge of me, of wisdom, biblically, that when they hear that, it's not a kid until they're born and 10 days old. They don't have a gender until their kindergarten teacher tells them what it is. Let's see what else we have. In the beginning, God created man, woman created he, them, right? Marriage was between a man and a woman. That's not true. That's not true. We get it, and you don't believe that? You don't believe that you're really born a guy, or you're born a girl? That you don't believe science. Well, you think the earth is flat? Are we going to get into the debates of all of these things, or are we going to focus on what the Lord has to say, right? And no scientific principle set forth in the scriptures has ever been disproven. We read in Job about rivers. You know, I mean, Job for a long time was a book that still is, but that's a book that really comes under fire a lot. Rivers of the deep? Well, wait a second. Now they found like the East Australia Current. They've got the different shipping lanes and passages where all the different cargo ships go, because, wait a second, there's like rivers running through the ocean. Currents that always go one way. Time after time after time. It doesn't change. All of these things have been, science has never disproven anything from the scripture. And even back in the day when Timothy was preaching, not long after Christ had been crucified, these debates were going on, scientific debates. And here it says, science falsely called. So, all right, so Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Focus on principles from God's word. Teach the flock how they're going to live their daily lives. You've got this life where we're going to be a testimony. The Bible tells us that some are going to be drawn to Christ just by the fact that we're different. We've heard people talk about that before. Wait, what's different? Why are you reacting this way during all these circumstances? I don't know. It's the Lord in me, because my human nature says I want to start swinging. But, well, mine doesn't. I'm flight, not fight. But anyway, some of us are, I want to start swinging. And that's not what we're taught here. We've got this wisdom. We've got this knowledge. God also tells us that if we lack it, and here is one of those debatable translations, right? If any of you lack wisdom, it's if or since, right? So since you all lack wisdom, ask of the Lord. So we hit a circumstance. Now, if is okay, because if we've learned our lesson, then we've gained the wisdom, we've held on to it. So we might hit a circumstance where we don't lack that particular wisdom because we've experienced it. All right. But if or since we lack wisdom, ask of God. He gives liberally. He gives liberally. Now, we didn't read verse number 6 here in Proverbs 2, but verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. His word, his mouth. Scripture is God breathed, right? Every word out of the mouth of the Lord, right? That's our scripture. So God gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. God breathed. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. How do we apply it? Do we apply it? Do we come here because, man, I can't wait to see what tie Jim is wearing today? Or do we come here, man, I am so glad summer's over and we get to hear that choir sing again? Do we come because we want to see each other and say, hey? Do we come here because it's an obligation? You know, God says, forsake not the assembly. Well, okay, doors are open, I got to go. Do we come here seeking, searching, trying to find that treasure, any pebble of knowledge, wisdom, understanding? What's our purpose? And then what do we do with it? Once we've got it, are we hanging on to it like a treasure? Or are we walking out of here, all right, let's see, Mondays are terrible. I've got a 7:30, an 8:30, a 9:30, a 10. Hopefully nobody puts anything right up against lunch, front or back, because I hate those. Are we thinking about that even during service, right? Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want to know, and I want to understand. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we know wisdom is precious. Lord, you tell us so, straight out. No debate, no. There's nothing we don't have to cry out to you to understand whether wisdom is valuable. Lord, you tell us it. We pray, Father, that this would be precious to us, that we wouldn't just want to come here and have our ears tickled. Lord, have some nice conversations with some friends, Lord, but that we would be seeking to draw closer to you, to get an understanding of what you would have for us, Lord, not just from day to day, Lord, that everything that we do might bring honor and glory to you, and Lord, knowing your principles, knowing scripture, having a good, wise knowledge of how things work, and what purpose you have for us, Lord, is what people are going to see. And we pray that you would use us, Lord, in that manner, that folks might be drawn to Christ through the testimony that we have and our application of Scripture. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.